Well, when I got the topic, I had all these really great ideas of what I was going to say, and I tried to cheat. And to be honest, I was a little nervous. So I was like, well, I mean, we talk about being led by the Holy Spirit all the time, so I've got to have something in a notebook that has stuff for me, and then I could just start there. And so I went looking for notebooks. But when you're teaching about being led by the Holy Spirit, you probably have to do that, or you're a hypocrite. So I put it aside, and I tried to hear from the Lord, and I believe this is what he wanted me to say. And so let's see. I pray that I heard him clearly. So let's pray, and let's get into it. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for you. We're so thankful as we're just coming off of Resurrection Sunday and thinking of how you rose from the dead, but before that was Good Friday. And we know what it cost you for our freedom, God, and we're so thankful that you were willing to pay the cost that we couldn't pay. We're so thankful that you rose in victory, and we have that same victory, God. We're so thankful that you choose to dwell in us, Lord, make us your home. We're so thankful that you prepared this night, God. Before the foundation of the world, you knew that this night was coming, and you had a word for each and every one of us, Lord, and I'm so thankful for that. I pray for myself, God, that you would hold me together, Lord, but take away all my thoughts and opinions, Lord, and I pray that whatever I say would come from you. I pray for each lady, Lord, that her heart would be good ground, that your word wouldn't just be heard, but it would take root and transform. I pray, God, that we would walk away just a little bit more like you, with a greater surrender to whatever you want to do in our lives, that we would understand being led by you, and we would just have the freedom to let you rule and reign in our lives, that we would understand that you are Lord. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing. I pray for Lucy and Tanisha as they've poured out and sung. I pray that you would pour back into them, fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and we're so thankful for the gifts. And I thank you for the sound booth, Lord, as Zach and Cindy are in there. I pray that you would pour back into them and for all the ladies out there that have set up all the beautiful tables out there and how pretty it is. I pray that you would pour back into them, Lord, and fill them. And so, God, as we get into your word, we're so thankful for your word, that it's truth. It's living. We have a living hope, God. So let us get into your word. Give us a single mind. Focus on you, Lord. Take away all the distractions. We thank you for what you're doing. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So let the Holy Spirit lead your life. We'll start in Galatians. The scripture that's on the flyer is Galatians 5:18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So just a little background on Galatians. Galatians is a letter from Paul to the Galatians. And in this letter, Paul's a little upset. He's kind of mad. Because the Galatians have come to salvation, and they've gotten freedom, and then these false brethren have come in, saw their freedom, and are trying to take them back into bondage. And somehow the Galatians are letting them, and they're going into bondage. So the letter is about our freedom that we have in Christ. And in Galatians, in chapter 5, the one that we're in verse 7, it says, you were running well. Who hindered you? And it's the same for us. Before Christ, we were in bondage. Christ freed us. He gave us freedom to serve. He gave us freedom to do what pleased him. Before, we were slaves to sin. We couldn't do anything but sin, even when we tried to get out of it. Sometimes you know someone who they're struggling with sin, and you're wondering, why can't they just stop? They're slaves. And we were just like that. And then Christ came, and he saved us, and he freed us from that. And he gave us the freedom to let the Holy Spirit lead our lives, to do what pleases God. In verse 18, back to our verse, it says that if you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're not under the law. Why? That sounds kind of weird, right? Didn't God give us the law? Well, Jeremiah 31, it tells us how there's a new covenant that's coming. That's what he was telling the Israelites. And how this new covenant was the law was going to be in us. The Lord's Spirit was going to be in us. He was going to do the work in us. And if God is in us and he's leading us, he's not going to go against the perfect law. The law was to point us to Christ and our need for Christ because nobody can do it. It's impossible. But the impossible is possible with God. And so now we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, doing the impossible, but we just gotta let him. So the lawgiver is not gonna go against his law. He's not gonna break his own law, but he did give us a standard. But there's a problem. We're saved. I'm sorry, I have this like mommy rock. I can't seem to help it. I've got a baby, so I can't. I just keep rocking. Now you're gonna notice that I shouldn't have said anything. I'm sorry. But there's a problem. We're saved, and a lot of times we're excited. We have this Savior. We have this new living hope, a bright future, but we may not have count the cost. We may not have thought about what it costs to follow Christ. We may not know how to pick up our cross like he talks about. Maybe we don't know how to crucify our flesh or deny ourselves or what it means to be a bondservant. A bondservant is different. You didn't get captured or anything. You have chosen to be someone's servant, to do their bidding. If you're his bondservant, he is what? Master. That means he's in charge. You don't tell master what to do. It doesn't work that way. You have chosen under him. And we don't always understand what it means to let him lead in our life. He's sovereign, he's king. You think about it, in any other place where there's monarchies and they have their dominion and there's kings, they're in charge, right? Well, God is not just the king, he's creator. He made it. Without him, nothing exists. He holds our very breath. He's in charge. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all." He's in charge. Job 42:2, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. No one can stop his purposes." Psalms 33:11, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever. He plans the plans of his heart from generation to generation." Can't stop his plans. Isaiah 46:10, "Declaring the end from the beginning." He knows what's going to happen. "And from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasures." He does what he pleases. Ephesians 1:22-23, "And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body." That's us. He's the head. He's sovereign. He has complete control. You and I were never meant to be in control. You can't be the captain of your own ship, no matter what the world tells you. But we were meant to surrender to this God and to worship him. To be living sacrifices is what Romans tells us, Romans 12:1. And you think about, what is a sacrifice? Sacrifice is an offering that you're giving to the Lord. So daily, hourly, we are giving ourselves to the Lord to do what he pleases. Living sacrifices, we're living to please him for his good pleasures. Saying like Christ, "Not my will, but your will be done." In Luke 17:33, it says, "Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it." And so sometimes we're holding on so tight to what we want for our life, and we're gonna lose that. Give it to the one that knows it all and knows what's best. Let him have your life. So don't try to hold on to it, but fully surrender all of your life, every single area and detail. So like Paul, like he asked the Galatians, who hindered you? Or what hindered you? Or what is still hindering you? What's keeping you from letting the Holy Spirit lead your life? Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation or drunkenness, but be filled with the Spirit." And then in 1 Peter 5:8 talks about being sober-minded. So don't be under any other influence, but be led by the Holy Spirit. So what's hindering you? What influences may you be under? What's keeping us from giving us him all of who we are, every detail? It could be your emotions. Maybe your emotions lead sometimes. One thought, one trigger spirals you. and you don't know how to get that back. Well, this is going to sound mean, but typically emotions are selfish. We're supposed to esteem others higher than ourselves, according to Philippians 2:3. And most of the time, if our emotions are leading, it's because we're concerned about how we feel, not about what's pleasing the Lord. But you can also remember, if your emotions put you in a spiral, he's the same God that calmed that storm with his disciples. He can calm the storm within you, and he can give you a new perspective. But maybe your hindrance is doubt or fear. It's kind of like, I think about a Moses. He comes to Moses in a burning bush that's not consumed. It's God. That doesn't happen, right? And I don't know how you guys picture the burning bush, but I always picture this little bush and this like little God in there. But you think about, he's in the wilderness, so there's nobody trimming this bush, so it's probably pretty big. And he's talking to him, and he tells him, I'll be with you. It wasn't enough. Moses is like, no, I can't do it. And I see myself in Moses so often, that God saying, I'll be with you, I'll never leave you or forsake you, is not enough. But it should be. Stand with that and let that be enough. He's with you. Wherever you go, whatever he's asking you to do, he's doing it through you. He knows you're dust. He knows I'm dust. And if you're still scared, feast on his faithfulness. Look back and think about all the things that he's already done. You can start from Genesis and look at what he's done in the Bible, and then you can look at your own life, what he's done. I don't know about you, but just the fact that I'm saved, that's a work. He's done a work. And you can look over and see how faithful he's been over time. So this next step he's asking you to do, he'll be faithful. Don't let fear hinder you from following the Lord. The other thing that could be a hindrance, it could be sin. It could be a sin that you know you're doing, that you're in the middle of, that you could be deceived by, or it could be unrepentant sin. Maybe you stopped doing it, but you haven't had a heart change. You haven't actually turned and changed your mind. You just don't do it anymore. And so he wants you to have a heart change. Or maybe we're entertaining sinful things. You haven't purified yourself, like Daniel. When Daniel gets taken to Babylon, he determines in his heart that he won't be defiled by the king's food. And we need to purpose in our hearts that we won't be defiled. Whatever it is, we need to make sure that we're set apart for God's good purposes. Acts 3:19 tells us that if we repent, return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Sin separates us from the Lord. But when we repent and turn, there's times of refreshing, because now we're in his presence and we have that peace with him, that you can't find that peace anywhere else. They don't sell it on Amazon. Maybe the other thing that could be a hindrance, it could be pride. There's not much to say about pride, except for it's really deceitful. But if you really stop and think about it, how foolish we can be to think that we know better than God. To think that we can plan our lives out or control our lives better than God. Psalms 4:8 says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. He alone knows what's best and what's safest. That's why he's jealous for us, because he knows he's the safest place for us. And everything else that we're chasing so often is not safe for us, but it will hurt us or turn us from him, from our safe place. Even in our trials that may seem hard, and maybe we want to quit and we want to complain, you can always remember he's sovereign. It's a controlled test. He is still in control, and he will still keep you in safety, and he still will protect you. But if you do it your way, you're going to get your results. I'll get my results if I run off and try to do it Daria's way, or I'll get my consequences. Not that God is trying to punish, but he knows the consequences of our sin. He knows why he's saying, go this way. When we decide, no, this way feels more comfortable. He knows what was over here, but he knows what's that way too. And so it's so much better to follow the one who can see way farther than we can see, as opposed to us just doing what we think is more comfortable or convenient. And that's the other hindrance. Sometimes we have too many conveniences. It's not that you don't want to let the Lord lead. It's just that you have so many other things to turn to, as opposed to turning to him or waiting on him. Instead of waiting for his voice, you can Google it. Rebecca Alga, she says, don't Google it, Bible it. And I like that. So if you want to know something or the right perspective on something, look it up in his word. Don't Google it. Google's going to tell you that you're dying. That's what they always say. You're sick or you're dying. But we want to make sure that we're dependent on him, even though there's so many conveniences and so many people around us. Maybe you have really wise friends and they're trying to point you to the Lord, but instead of you going to the Lord for yourself, and you can, you're going back and forth to them. But remember, you're his bondservant, and wisdom comes from him. Proverbs 2, 6 through 7, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. If anything should influence you, don't let it be your pride. Don't let it be fear. Don't let it be conveniences, but let it be the cross. We should live in response to what he did on the cross, thinking about what it cost him for us to have this freedom that Paul talks about in Galatians. In Galatians 5:13, it says that we were free. We were called to freedom, but don't use our freedom for ourselves, to opportunities for the flesh, but to serve one another through love. And so God, Christ, has given us this freedom. And so we should live in response to this great love, this great sacrifice that we couldn't do for ourselves. Thinking like, Lord, you gave your life so that I could live and live free. So don't let me go back in anything that holds me in bondage. Don't let me use my freedom for myself, but use my freedom. Help me to use it to worship you, that I would live as a living sacrifice and let you lead. And put your trust in him for everything. Every situation. There's not one situation that he's looking at and he's like, oh man, I didn't see that coming. And yet, we do. We think like, oh, I don't need to give that to him, or I can't give that to him, or he's the last resort after we've tried everything else. Then we're like, you know what? Maybe I'll pray. That should be our first response. If we're abiding in him and clinging to him, then that should have been a conversation, because we've already been talking to him all day. And then sometimes things are too small. And we think, I'm not going to bother him with that. But he wants to lead you in everything. He's concerned about every detail. If you read Leviticus, you will see that God cares about details. There's a lot of details in that book. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. It's one that you probably have memorized. But I like to go all the way to 8, which most people miss. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart, everything that's in it. And do not lean on your own understanding. Don't think you can figure it out. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So ask him about everything, big or small. And he will make your path straight. He's going to show you which way to go. And do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't be prideful. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So don't think you can entertain these things. But fear him in a reverence that you wanna please him. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. So you're giving him, trusting him with all that's in your heart, all your cares and concerns, every single detail of your life. And stop and think about that. What would it look like if you gave God everything? Everything. Every part of your life, no hindrances. There'd be a greater freedom. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That know is gnos. It's a learn to know, a come to know. It's knowing by experience, having an intimacy with him. And so every step of obedience, it helps us to know him better. It helps us to grow in how we know him, have a greater intimacy with him, which brings greater freedom. You can trust him more. Now, if you're not stepping out trusting him, then you're going to have a harder time stepping out on things because you haven't grown to trust him. That when you step out and it works and you see his hand in your life, then you can trust him with the next thing. Because you're like, well, he did that. So surely he'll do this. And remember, you're not just trusting anybody. You're trusting the one true living God who is love and loves you and cares for you. He wants to protect you. He alone will bring you to safety. The other thing that you'll see as you're letting him lead and trust in him is fruit. John 15 tells us that if we abide, that's to cling or remain or stay connected to Christ by his Spirit, we'll bear much fruit. What kind of fruit will we see? Hold on. Galatians 5, 21 through 22 lets us know that we'll see fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And again, against such there is no law. The law is there to help correct us because we don't know what it means to love people, to forgive them. We'll say things are love, and then he has to tell us that, well, if you love, you won't lie about them, you know, and so he gives us the law to break it down, to let us know what it looks like to worship him and what it looks like to love people. The other thing we'll see, if we gave him everything, we would be living the greatest commandment, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And in Luke, that one's Matthew, but in Luke he says, with all your strength. So your will, giving him your will. You would be loving him with all that you have, your emotions, your thoughts, your very being, and your will. Okay, I know what you're thinking. All that, you're just like, okay, I can have some fruit, no pears, no mangoes. That all looks good. We'll have peace with God. We'll have the surrender. We'll know we'll be in safety. But how? How do I let the Lord lead? Well, simple. Start with his word. If you're wondering how does he sound and you want to know what his voice sounds like, start with his word. So often you can meet somebody who tells you that God has said something to him or them, I should say, and when you listen, you're like, I don't know much, but that doesn't line up with his word. And that's kind of one of the checkpoints, you know, that it's the Lord, because he's not going to contradict himself. He's not schizophrenic. He's going to stand on what's true. His word is true and it remains forever, and he's going to stick to that. He knows his word brings life, so he's not going to give us anything else. And so whatever he says, it's going to line up with that. The only way for you to know that is for you to know the word. And so you've got to discipline yourself. Proverbs 12:1 says that you love discipline. I don't know if you love discipline, but it's not just the correction, but it's the exercise of the getting up to hear from him. Even though we looked at Moses, or I mentioned Moses, and that God being with him wasn't enough, and you look over Moses' life, he got up regularly, climbed a whole mountain to hear from the Lord. And so we need to purpose in our heart or be very intentional to make sure that we're taking time to sit with his word. And then in Romans 12:2, it says it renews our mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we need to be in his word so it can renew our thinking. It can wash away all the worldly thinking so we're not mixing that up, because it's so hard to get some of that out, especially if you're not staying in his word to wash it out, or you're still pouring it in. So it's like having a cup that you've got clear water going in, and then you're throwing in dirt with it and wondering why it's still dirty. Well, let's stop pouring the dirt in and let's just go with the clear water, the living water. And then we'll have the mind of Christ that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 2:16. We'll think like him, we'll have his perspective. And we want to come to his word like Samuel in 1 Samuel 3, where he says, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." And as you're in his word, read his word with the intent to obey. You can look for a command to obey or to follow. But don't read it just to say, "I read it." Know that you are sitting with God's word. The God of all creation wants to speak to you. He has something to say. He wants to reveal mysteries. He wants to transform you. He didn't just choose you. He wants to make you better. He wants to make you like you. He wants to make you like him. Don't mix that up. He wants to perfect you and make you holy and set apart. So you can look for a command to follow, and you don't look at it and say, oh, that's too hard. I can't do that. I can't be perfect. I don't know if you ever heard that. We're not God. We're not supposed to be perfect. Well, everything in here is impossible for us to do. All of it. I know we should just walk out now. It's all impossible. But who lives in us? The God of the impossible. So he gave us all these commands that we can't do because he knew, just like we read in Jeremiah 31, he's going to come and do it through us. All you've got to do is surrender. He's not asking you to get stronger. He's not asking you to toughen up so you can force these fruit of the Spirit. He's not asking. He's asking you to surrender. Be a living sacrifice, offering yourself to him. And if you do hear a still small voice while you're reading or listening, or you've gotten used to hearing his voice, just remember again, he will not contradict his word. He's our helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper, and he promises to lead us into all truth. So when you get into his word, start with prayer. Ask him to show you what he wants to show you. Ask him to speak to you personally for right where you are, because he wants to do that. He knows right where you are, and he'll meet you there. He met Moses in the middle of the desert with a bush. He'll meet you right in your living room if that's where you're at. And then, like Joshua, take courage and say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. So as you're looking to follow him, we've got to be like Daniel in purpose. We won't let anything defile us. But also we have to purpose that I'm going to serve him. I'm not going to let anything hinder me. I'm not going to keep letting fear keep me from obeying God, the God that I say I love and that I know loves me. I'm not going to keep being prideful, even if it's deceitful. Maybe I don't see it. I'll say, God, can you show me the plank in my eye? Show me the pride that's in me that's keeping me from following you with my whole heart. Lord, if there's doubt, I'm doubting your goodness because of this trial, correct me. Because I know that you alone are good. There's nothing good in me but you. And so don't let the devil have you doubting who God is and his goodness and his power. If you're in a trial, he has a purpose for it. He's still a good God. If you don't like a situation, it's not because he's not good. Maybe you need your perspective changed. But don't stop on that because this is bad. He's good, and he's got purposes and plans for everything that's going on. And in Romans 8:28, it says, all things work together for good. And then if you're thinking, I'll know it's God's voice when he speaks to me because I'll have peace. I've heard that said a lot of times, and I'm just not sure. Sometimes people hear something and they're like, I prayed about it and I had peace, so I did it. And they had peace because it's exactly what they already wanted to do. Yeah, you had peace. You already wanted to do that. You gave God your list and then you walked away before he even spoke to you. But sometimes God gives us something and we don't have peace. Again, look at Moses. God comes to him and he's speaking to him. He knows it's God. And he's like, I can't do that. Then you see Abraham, same thing. He's like, let Ishmael live before you. I'm too old for what you want to do. Look at Gideon, mighty man of valor. He's like, you're going to have to show me some signs. And we could be the same way, but we don't want to be like that. The peace doesn't come from what he's telling us to do. The peace comes when we surrender because we know who he is, because we know that he loves us and there's a purpose for this. And there's also a peace in knowing that I'm surrendering because God doesn't just want me to do this just to do this, but it's not just for me, but for everybody around. We have this freedom to serve, but to serve people through love. And so this privilege that he gives us to serve alongside him, don't take that lightly. Every single one of us has people in our lives that God wants to reach, and you can't do it hindered. You can't keep walking in fear, not saying the thing you need to say, thinking that they'll just see the gospel in your life because you smile. No, they need to hear the gospel. Or you don't want to have conflict, so you don't say what God is putting on your heart. Trust him. Say it. He knows what they need to hear. But if you're hindered, there's going to be so many people that miss what God wanted to do through you because you wouldn't do it. And you need to esteem them higher than yourself. Don't worry about what people think about you. Worry about them coming to the Lord and saving souls. So say whatever is on his mind, on his mind that he's giving you to say. And think about it, it is a privilege. Any donkey could do. He could choose anybody. Ask Balaam. He spoke through his donkey. So when I say any donkey can do, he can use anybody. But he's letting us. He's letting us serve alongside him. And he's doing the work through us. He knows you're just dust. He knows you're scared sometimes. He knows you have doubts. But he's letting you serve and giving you that privilege. He could come down himself and do it. He can send angels. Probably not my guardian angel, because I think my guardian angel's tired of chasing me around. But he doesn't have to use us. He doesn't need us, but he wants us, and he lets us serve alongside him. So the other thing that comes, like I said, is there's peace and surrender, but there's also peace when we're being led by him because our eyes are on him. Isaiah 26:3 says that peace comes from keeping our eyes on him, not taking your eyes off like Peter when he was trying to walk across the water, but keep your eyes on the Lord no matter what's going on. Peace comes from keeping your eyes on him. I think about Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. If your circumstances are perfect, and everybody's saying what you want them to say or acting the way you want them to act, that is not the peace that surpasses all understanding. We could understand that. When you have peace in the middle of a storm, that's supernatural. That's something only God can give. And he does that when we follow what he wants us to do. When we're anxious for nothing, because he said, don't be anxious, give it to me. Cast your cares on me. And so throw them at him. Don't keep your anxiety, you don't have to. When you come to him with prayer through everything, and not just prayer because you're just talking to him, but stop in that prayer to acknowledge who you're talking to, who's in control of this situation, so you're not overwhelmed by the situation. But when you know that God is with you, his grace is enough. His grace is more than enough to get you through any situation, no matter how hard it is. If you look back through his life, through the life of Christ, he had it pretty hard. You think about the crucifixion, and it's kind of just fresh on my mind, but that was the Romans' thing. They knew how to crucify people. It was gruesome. It was ugly. But he's fully man, fully God. You cannot kill God. You can't. So in the flogging, he was flogged twice. But in the flogging, typically the first one is a little warning, but then the worst one before crucifixion, most people would die during that flogging because it was so harsh. He could have just given up his spirit then and not went all the way to the cross. But instead, he holds on for you and for me to go all the way to the cross to fulfill exactly what he said he was going to do. And he goes to that cross, and he doesn't let anyone take his life. He gives his life freely for us. So we should freely give our lives to him. So again, just like Paul was asking the Galatians, what's hindering you from letting the Holy Spirit lead in every single area of your life? Remember, the Holy Spirit is living in you. He wants to lead you into all truth. He wants to bring you a greater freedom. He wants to lead you in the life that he gave you. Stop and think about that. You're trying to hold this life from the God who gave it to you. You didn't have it without him. Your very breath he gave to you. So don't waste your time running aimlessly, trying to figure it all out on your own when you don't have to. But give it back to him. Give this life back to him. Give him total control and access to every part of your life. Allow him to lead. Your every step of obedience brings him glory. I don't know if you've stopped about that and you wonder sometimes if your life brings him glory. You know, sometimes you could be maybe you're in a rough marriage, or maybe you don't think you're doing that well with your kids, or maybe your ministry doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. You don't think you're reaching anybody. Maybe you're to yourself. You're like, I just call people. That's a big deal. And if that's what God calls you to do, then every time you do it, it brings him glory because you're surrendering to him. And so every step of obedience brings him glory. Remember, we have a God who is the one true living God. And I was reading this book, and in the book, the question was, don't you have a God? Because so often we live like we don't. We're living just like the rest of the world. We're just as worried and stressed out as the rest of the world. Don't you have a God? Don't you have a God? Live like you have a God. Let him lead and let the world see that you have a God. I remember when you read in the Old Testament that the nations around Israel knew they had a God, and they would be scared when Israel was coming, because there was something different about Israel. They saw God's hand, and people will see God's hand in our life when we let him lead in our lives. So let's pray, and then Lucy will come up, Lucy and Tanisha, with a final song. Lord, I pray that we would think on what that means, that you are Lord of everything. That there's nothing we would hold back from you. There's nothing hidden that you can't see. So I pray that we would freely give our lives to you. That we would walk away with a greater surrender to what you want to do in our lives. That we wouldn't be hindered by doubt, fear, sin, or pride, Lord. And that if we have hardened our hearts to your voice, I pray that you would soften those hearts, Lord. Draw us to you, Lord. I pray that we were to pursue peace with you, God. Pursue to let you have your way in our lives, that we would seek you first. I thank you for all that you're doing, and I do pray, God, that this week that you would wake us up and draw us to yourself and give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, and that you would lead in our lives and that we would be set apart and look different for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.